Now, wouldn't we all love to work in an office guaranteed to lower our stress levels, where we feel productive but also connected to people and nature? Well, two of the best examples of how architecture is creating more sustainable modern-day office space are to be found in Seattle. They're the new corporate headquarters for Amazon and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundations. NBBJ is one of the world's largest architectural practices and is involved with both projects. John Savo is a principal of NBBJ, and I'm delighted to say he joins us this morning in the breakfast studio. Good morning, John. Welcome to breakfast.
Good morning, Geraldine. Thanks for having me.
As we've heard a lot in recent years about so-called green buildings, and we're quite proud of some of them in Australia, but the Amazon project over three city blocks in central Seattle is really something more than that, isn't it? What's different about it?
Well, there's a number of factors. Just the scale of the project, three blocks at one time for one corporation, creates opportunities that we don't always get when we're doing a building or a block at a time. So some of the big changes are a result of what we can do with infrastructure. We're creating a cycle track, for example. On both sides of the street, you can cycle coming to work separated from automobiles and from pedestrians by landscape, rather than kind of fighting in the traffic, with separate bicycle entries into the buildings that don't require people to go through a garage or through a loading dock, as typically happens, with all the facilities that they need. So one of the things it's about is about active living, getting people moving and encouraging them to find ways to work, including walking and cycling without relying on their car. And being downtown, that's the big move, really. Corporations for so long have been going out to the countryside. And so we've seen what's happened as a result of that. Not intentionally, it was unintended consequences. But by moving back in the city, you don't need to build as much infrastructure, but you can do greener infrastructure. And as you mentioned, one of the things we're doing with this project is a kind of unusual piece of it. It's the smallest building, but it's available to all Amazon employees, a building in which not only people come to work, but they get to share it with plants, including trees. So a much higher percentage of plant life inside the building intentionally, almost like a conservatory.
But these are the biodomes, are they?
Yes. Well, they're called a number of things.
They're beautiful. I hope that our listeners go to the website because it's really beautiful to see. It's quite unlike anything I've seen before.
Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. It's an extraordinary opportunity. For years, I've had clients encourage us to put plants in their buildings, and usually it's the potted plants or maybe a few ficus trees. And for the most part, I've been resistive of that. You want to shrub up my architecture? But after a while, you get smart. You learn that there's a reason behind that, why people really respond to plants.
So this is this concept of biophilia.
Yes.
And the notion that it's missing from our work environments.
That's right. And it's not just plants. Amazon allows you to bring your dog to work every day.
Really?
Every day. And in fact, our project's called Rufus 2.0, after the name of the first dog on campus many years ago. And it wasn't the owner's. So there's that, and there's weather and seasons. So they actually have operable windows in the high-rise towers.
Well, that's right. You've got windows that open. Does that happen anywhere else in high-rise?
I'm sure there's examples. Certainly, there's in high-rise condominiums, that's not uncommon.
No.
But then you're all cells, these little cells, these little rooms. In this case, though, we're actually all the way up 37, 38 stories, putting operable windows every 10 feet, and not your little awning window or casement that opens up a few inches. It's actually a single hung window that you can open all the way up 3 feet, and it's open about almost 2 feet wide. So you're open to the weather in a sense that you rarely get in an office building.
What about air conditioning? I thought that was the whole reason that you couldn't muck around with the stability of the system.
That's what they've told us for a very long time. It is true that there's concerns about things like stack effect, as they call it, and that's because the elevators aren't sealed in the middle of the building. So what we do is we create vestibules of the elevator lobbies, and so each floor is more like an individual space and isn't necessarily tied to all the others because of the air conditioning. And so with ways like that, we are able to give people a little more control of their life and make it feel more like their home. If I want to open a window, I can. Now, there's going to be many times in Seattle that you won't want to open that window. And we'll give them little cues about when they can and when they can't. But
there will be little rules, will there?
Yeah, there will be. But there won't be automatic. You have the choice. Even if we use on our own building, we have operable windows and exterior solar sunscreening. And we have a light system. Green light goes on, you can open the window. And every spring, when the light first goes on after 4 months of Seattle winter, there's applause all the way through the building.
Well, look, let's get to the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation,
sure.
HQ, because the boomerang-shaped buildings you designed for them had a brief to create an improved workplace for staff. Now, and light seems to be the absolute priority of bringing light into people's lives, but also rooftop gardens and a huge underground water bladder or a cistern, for instance. All of that's there.
Yes, that's a building that started out with the idea that it was going to be more like, a typical office building, but as it evolved with the client building their first real campus for themselves, they became much more serious, looking at the long term, thinking 100 years out for the building, not just 10 years, 20 years. And every decision ultimately was made on a 30-year turnaround in terms of its value. And so they started looking at things like creating this great cistern underneath the building, a million-gallon cistern, so that they only use 20% of the potable water of a building of comparable size, because all the rest of the water is used on the site for any number of purposes. The workplace there, too, they have operable window in their atrium and some of the common spaces, but they also, you can just walk outside and work on a nice day. They have water gardens and plazas and places to work out there that's got IT that you can take advantage of the fact that on a good day, you don't have to stay in that hermetically sealed building that traditionally would have occurred.
I mean, are these buildings one-offs? The Amazon and Microsoft are obviously sort of remarkable companies, led by visionaries.
Yes.
Or is there something going on, in your view, that's more of a trend in corporate architecture, that we are looking to the future better and that therefore there's a better prognosis for our cities?
I do think it's a trend. It's not gushing yet, but we're even seeing companies that had moved out to the suburbs or even into the countryside to build their campuses now moving people into buildings in the downtowns nearby because that's what their employees want. They want young employees, especially right out of university. Really, do you want to drive out to a suburban location if you have a choice? It's a very attractive way to recruit and retain people. And it's green, because we know the cities really there's a smaller a carbon footprint for both companies and individuals in an urban environment. Because so much is right there. You don't have to drive somewhere to get to it. Mm. So, yeah, we're seeing that happen.
And are they expensive to build and maintain?
Not necessarily. In fact, we found in green buildings generally, I remember only about 10, 12 years ago, we'd put a certain percentage of added cost on a building we use a program called LEED in the United States. You might be familiar with it. It just means leadership in energy and environmental design. And it has layers, certification, silver, gold, platinum. And we used to put a number on each one of those, and we don't anymore, up to about gold. And even gold is getting to be, in an urban setting on a brownfield site, pretty easy to achieve.
Very. John, we could talk forever. This is very good news. Thank you so much for joining us.
And thank you for having me. It's a real pleasure.
John Savo, a principal of NBBJ. He's been in Australia this week for a Green Leader Summit organised by the Green World City Organisation with support from the US Study Centre. We'll put a link on our website because I think you'll really applaud.